today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit that's in this place today. Thank you for your word that's anointed, that breaks every yoke in the name of Jesus. I ask you to hide me behind the cross for a little while today, Lord, that I'm able to preach your word. That you call, when you call, you anoint and you equip. And I thank you for that word that goes forth today, Lord, that ears hear your word today that will bring life to the dry and thirsty soul today. And the church said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where the kingdom of light is, there's no room for the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When you were born again, whatever time when it was, you were translated from that kingdom into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of light. And now we live under a different realm. We're now part of a kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, where there's power and authority. And when you choose to live by the principles that govern the kingdom of God, you can't expect the world, those that know nothing about God, to understand you or to agree with you. But you believe that the light in you is greater than the darkness that's in them. And every day that you live, you keep being an influence. And that light of influence will influence the kingdom of darkness so much, they will begin to desire what you have. Amen. So they don't understand you. You got a word from God about your purpose, and you begin to set out, this is where I know God's taking me, and this is what I know God is doing. Don't expect them to agree with you. Don't expect them to even really support you. So I know it. I know some things don't all add up. It don't make sense in the natural, and it's not supposed to, because we're walking in a supernatural kingdom now. Well, we're believing for supernatural things to happen. And you know, in the kingdom of God, one and one don't make two. Eight and eight don't make 16. You might as well throw all of that out. And just say, let's just go with the flow, God. None of this makes sense, but I know that it's all going to add up in your kingdom, in your principle, in your kingdom. In Matthew 16:33, it tells us to seek first. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek first. First is a first place principle that whatever's built on that stands. Because the foundation of the thing, if it's not built securely, it won't stand. Those of you in construction know that. Amen. So seek ye first, make that your foundation, the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, or his way of doing things, or his principle of doing things. Find out how this kingdom operates, and find out how this kingdom works, and then whatever you build upon that will be lasting. It will stand in the test of time. Amen? Isn't that good? So first does not just mean number one, or a starting place. It is a foundation, and all that comes after that is built on it. So seek after, go after, find out what it is. Be hungry for it, even when you don't understand. When God says, this is the way, walk in it, you're thinking, stop trying to figure God out. You never will. Just begin to walk in it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. Kingdom of God is within us. God's way of doing things. Living your purpose is just not doing what you know God has told you to do. And living a life of release, constantly releasing things to God. And when you're living a life of release, you don't get burdened down and trying to figure out how it all works. Because release brings off the pressure of you trying to figure it out or how you're going to do it. Amen? So living a life of release to God is living to God. You set yourself up to be who God has destined you to be and purposed you to be. When you begin to live that life of release, God can only bless what we give to Him. What we don't give to Him, we're holding on to. Amen? So He says, if you will quit holding on to that thing that I want to bless and release it, I will bless it and I will multiply it and it will come back to you. But we're afraid to let go because we feel like that it makes us who we are or it may not be returned to us. But God said, if you'll just give that to me, whatever it may be, your money, your body, your health, your family, if you'll just release it to me, I'll multiply it back to you because I'll bless what you release. Because at that point, you won't have no control over it. And just being humans, we like to be in control of things. Amen? And I have learned to release things to God. You know, it's like after Kenny and I were together, it would just drive me getting in the car with him and not knowing where I was going because I was always in control. And that's so many times, that's the way it is with us. We want to be the driver, and God's sitting over here, and we just expect Him to ride along with us. And it took me forever to get patience enough to keep your mouth shut. He knows where He's going, and it'll be all right when we get there. But as humans, we want to know when we're going, what time we're going, where we're going, what's going to happen when we get there, and who's going to be there when we get there. So God said, release control to me. Just forget about it and release it to me. I know where we're going. Quit being the co-pilot. Let me pilot. You buckle up and go along for the ride. You know that saying one time says, get in, buckle up, shut up, sit down, let's go. Sometimes God has to talk to some of us that way. There's been a few times that I felt like God's talked to me that way. Shut up, Shirley. Sit down, buckle up, and hold on, and just go for the ride. And you'll enjoy the scenery along the way. Amen? So God can only bless what we give Him. In 2 Kings 4, the widow woman had only a jar of oil. And, you know, it may be little in the sight of God, or in our sight, but it's big in the hands of God. Amen? So this widow woman, she only had a jar of oil. That's all she had. God just wants you to give to Him what you've got. That one little small talent that you don't think amounts to nothing. God said, if you'll just give me that little talent, I'll bless a multitude of people. It only took two people to turn the world upside down at Jesus' time. And the people began to say, who are these men that have come to turn this place upside down? They just gave to God what they had, and God blessed it and changed the whole region because of their obedience to Him and them releasing their life to Him. So by releasing what she had, God was able to bless that little jar of oil. Amen? God was able to bless that widow's woman a little bit. So when you live a life of release, you are no longer restrained to do your own thing. You're no longer confined to yourself or your own will. And at the moment we begin to release things to God, it takes the pressure off of us, like I say, to try to figure it all out and to try to do it on our own. Because it's the anointing, it's our believing, it's our trusting God, it's what's going to get it done. But when the pressure comes in, it's when we want to hold on to those things. And when we, as long as we're holding on to it, we're trying to figure out how to do it. And pretty soon, you're just going to just blow up. We don't want nobody blowing up. So sometimes, just release it to God all the time. As we read and study the Word of God, we find that God is a God of purpose. And from Genesis to Revelation, God is a God of purpose, and He's a speaking God. And one thing about God, His plans and purposes for us is not a big secret. You know, some people just want to do all these great things that's in their own strength to try to figure out God's purpose and plan for their lives. So He just said, listen, get up every day. My mercies are new every morning. Get up every day and go do what you need to do. Release your life to me for that day, and I'll do what you thought I couldn't do. And when, you know when, what happens when you do that? You begin to walk out the plan of purpose God has for your life. And you don't have to struggle to find it out. It just happens, church. It just happens. When you begin to just get up every morning and just say, I'm going to do what I know to do today. And then pretty soon, I'm going to do what I know to do today. And pretty soon, doors will start opening. You'll be finding favor because you're not trying to find it in your own strength and trying to do it your own way. So God was always looking for somebody. We had a few people in here that wanted to be a somebody. So he was always looking for somebody to begin to speak a word. To begin to speak a word so his plan will begin to unfold in the earth. Because he's a speaking God and he made us a speaking people. So the enemy either wants you to not say nothing and not release the good into the atmosphere, the word of God, or he wants you just to keep your mouth shut or begin to release things that are contrary to the word. So God has chosen to use us as human vessels. He has chosen to use us as his mouthpiece in this earth, as his feet to go, his hands to touch, his eyes to see, his ears to hear. And it's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. The enemy wants to confuse you, try to make you think it is, but it's not. It's not a mystery. Amen? So God has chosen us to be his mouthpiece in the earth. And so when he desires to move out of the heavenly realm, the kingdom of God, when he decides to move out of that heavenly realm, he always finds a people, he always finds a place, he always finds a somebody who is hungry to see his word manifested in the earth. Now the kingdom of God has come and the kingdom of God is within you. Now when the voice of God begins to be released from heaven, it ignites what is already inside of you. Because when you were born again, everything was put inside of you at that moment to be and to fulfill your purpose in God. It was like the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, Martha, nurses. At that moment, everything that you were going to be, your sex and everything, whether male or female, was at that moment happened. When you got born again in the Spirit, you connected back to your Creator. You got connected back to the one that fashioned and formed you in your mother's womb, that knew you before the foundation of the earth, that didn't care how your mom and daddy got together and how you got here, amen, because you're not a mistake, amen. You're not a mistake. He fashioned you and formed you. Glory to God. So the kingdom. So when God begins to speak from that heavenly realm, there's something that the kingdom of God that's already in you, the plan, the purposes, and that word begins to ignite that in you. Hallelujah. And it becomes one. And then you can say, I'm the somebody that wants to begin to speak what I hear coming from heaven. Glory to God. So there's a man by the name of Abram. And God spoke to him. And he said, Abram, I want you to get out of your country. I want you to get away from your family. I want you to get away from your father's house. And he said, to the land that I'm going to show you. God was taking Abraham away from everything that was familiar to him. And when we begin to release to God things, it takes us away from the familiar thing that we're used to. We learn how to be in control. We learn how to do things and manipulate things to our own liking and to our own standards. But when you live a life of release, you release it all to God. Those things that are familiar, you have to get away from. And that voice that comes from the heavens, and God said, get away from everything that you're familiar with, and I'm going to take you to a place where I can bless you, where I can show you my favor. Amen. So there was a man by the name of Abraham, and God began to speak to him. So God was taking Abraham out of that which was familiar, out of that place that was comfortable to him, in order to bless him. As long as you stay in a comfort zone, as long as you stay in that place of comfort, nothing is ever going to happen, because change is painful and change is not easy. Change is painful and change is not easy, because it keeps us in that place of comfort where we are still in control, because we want to know how it's all going to work out. And I could preach this because I've been there. Amen. I have been there. You know, it's like preaching. I've always wanted to be calm, control, collective, and just teach. And I tried to do that. And I was miserable. So finally I said, well, God, you're the one called me. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't wake up one morning and decide I wanted to preach, okay? Because usually if I'm out, you don't hear nothing from me unless I'm called on. Amen. But the moment that I began to say, you called me, so if you've called me, you've anointed me, you've given me the anointing, however you want to bring this word forth, so I just release it to you. So now, instead of getting stressed and wanting to be in control of how God was going to do it, not that I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to be myself in doing it. You understand what I'm saying? So the moment that I began to release that anointing to God and that call to God, I have fun preaching. And I stutter, and I don't have this great education and all this, but I believe the anointing gets the word across. Amen. And that's what it's all about. It's getting that word to somebody that can bring change to your life. Amen. So there was a man, that man Abraham. So God's telling him, get away from everything that's familiar, because I want to bring you to the place that I want to bless you. So Abraham had to make that choice to get out and to begin to walk in kingdom purposes. And the plan of purpose for God's, for the plan that God had for his life. So sometimes we don't understand the way of the process that he chooses and uses us to get us from here to there. And it seems like that God walks our life from the end to the beginning. And he said, this is the beginning. And all of this in the middle, he's called us to walk out, and we have no idea. And thank God we don't. Amen. Because that would want to put us back in control again. And not release it to God. So he calls us to walk out this middle part of it. But we don't have to do it by ourselves. And we don't have to do it in our own strength. Amen. So sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we get too comfortable, too familiar. We get at ease in Zion, so to speak. We can get at ease in the church, so to speak. And we just want to come to church, which is a good thing. But be excited about coming to the house of the Lord. And you say, I'm going to the house of the Lord today, and you're looking for somebody to bless, and I just want you to know I'm open, God. Amen. I just want you to know I'm here. Hello. Amen. So we have to be reminded from time to time that we're only here on this earth temporary anyway. We're just passing through. Very short time. The older you get, the faster life goes. I never understood that. Just about the time you get your mess straightened out with God's help, you're older, and then... So we have to be reminded from time to time that we're only here on this earth temporary. We have an assignment, and within that assignment is a purpose, a plan, and a God. And God chooses a person to fulfill that assignment in the earth. So when God begins to speak, he doesn't talk just to be talking. Every time that God opens his mouth from that heavenly realm, things begin to happen. Things begin to be put into action, into motion. So every time he talks, he doesn't just talk to hear himself talking. It's with definite purpose and definite intention. Amen? So it's with a deliberate intention. Things began to happen. Things began to come in order. Things began to shift. And things were set into motion. That which you thought was chaotic and chaos, God says, I'm just rearranging some stuff because I'm bringing some stuff into order in your life. That's why there's people that's left your life and you thought you were friends forever with. Suddenly they're not there no longer. Don't try to hold on to something that God said to let go of. Whatever it may be. It may be a job that God said, listen, I've opened this other door for you. It may be a pay decrease or it may be a pay increase. But you're wanting to hold on to that because it's familiar. When God said, you need to let that go. You know, it's like I said one Sunday before, because God, through a prophetic word, that God said, when I bring you to that place, you're going to look back and say, I understand why I was going through what I was going through then. I completely understand it now. I didn't understand it then, but I completely understand it now. No wonder things was chaotic and a mess and things would be rearranged and everything, because you don't never know, you know, what God's up to. It was like yesterday, back the last snow. Don't tell Kenny I told you this. But he slipped off the side of the driveway. And in the attempt of trying to get out, you know, instead of just sitting there like his good wife told him to, but I've learned to be the co-pilot, not the pilot. Hallelujah. He started spinning, threw mud all over the house. I didn't know that he did that. So about a week later, I came home from work, and it was a sunshiny day. I looked. There was these black spots all over the windows, two big windows. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, we've been invaded by bugs. Because when I first looked at it, I thought it was flies. And it was just like all over this window. And I think, why are those flies or those bugs there? And you know what? Sometimes we're like that way. We get a wrong perception of something when we first look at it. And automatically we begin to think it's something when it's not.
I walked up to that wind. I kept looking. I thought, those are bugs. Those are dirt spots. I'm not talking about one or two, church. I'm talking about 50 or 60, just everywhere. And I reached out to touch it, and then they're so long they had dried. And so what happens in our life when we try to hold on to stuff and God said let go, our lives become dry and brittle. And at that point, we cannot receive the word of God, which is the seed. You know, we're just dirt. And we need to try to figure out what kind of dirt we are. Because God wants to plant the word, that seed, in our lives. Amen. And so this goes on to the story. It doesn't end there. So with working and doing everything else, we didn't have time to clean it off. And the longer it stayed there, the harder it got. And that's the way of things in our life that we don't learn to release to God. The longer we hold on to it, sometimes it's the harder it is to get rid of because we become so familiar with it that we don't want to let go of it. So yesterday, I didn't want him to do it yesterday. I didn't know he was going to do it yesterday because I was going to help him. I heard this spraying on the house. I thought, uh-oh, he got the water hose out. And I'm telling you, church, the word is the washing of that water that comes into our life. And no matter what the mud splatter is and no matter how it got there, when you begin to receive that engrafted word of God, no matter how long that thing has been hanging on your life, it has to go. And with a little dawn on that brush, he began to scrub away at that dirt, and pretty soon it was gone. It was like the anointing oil that the Bible talks about. Let that anointing run down on you and let it refresh you and revive you. Well, I was already ready to come to church about 1 o'clock to do some things. I had it all packed, ready to walk out the door. Oh, no. Never, ever, ever have yourself prepared to do something when God says it's not time. Amen. It's not time. So he said, I need you to raise the window and take the screen out. So I raise, our windows come completely out. And for some reason, one of the windows does not lock. Once you touch it, it just falls out. And I raised that window. That was not the first thing that happened. First thing happened was a big shade decided to fall. But it needed to fall because I had it taped up with duct tape and nobody knew it because the curtain hit it. Because I broke it a long time ago. Praise God for duct tape. Amen. It'll fix anything. Just like the Word and God. It'll fix anything. It's stronger than duct tape. Well, the shade fell down. I thought I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And for a few minutes, I began to get frustrated. And I said, I didn't want you to do this today. Why didn't you wait till next week or some other time when I had more time? And then the Lord rebuked me. He said, when it's my time, my plan and my purpose for your life, if you'll be patient and not become frustrated, it'll all work out. The shade fell. That's okay. But not only before that, I had to pull the couch out from the window in order to get behind the couch to raise the window. So it was a time there for about 15 minutes because the window fell out and hit me on the foot. Glory to the Lord. And got the screen out, and he got it all clean, and it looked so clean. And that's what God does in your life. When you're all dirty, and you feel ashamed, and you think everybody knows about everything you've done, when actually the only one knows it is you and God. And if you've been forgiven for it, he don't even know it. And the only one that's bringing it back to your remembrance is yourself. Because he said, when I forgive you, I put it in the river, and it's gone. Just let it go. And I pulled that couch out, and lo and behold, before I knew it, I was rearranging the whole living room. Time Kenny got in there, I said, I ain't daring telling him I'm going to rearrange this living room. I'm just going to pretend like I'm going to vacuum it. So I just started vacuuming. That was my excuse for moving everything around. So I began to vacuum. And I began to move everything around. He came in there and he said, oh, Lord, what's going on? And that's what people does in our lives sometimes when God begins to rearrange things and he begins to reposition us. And people look at us and think, Lord, what's going on? All you can do is stand back and say, but God. But God. Amen. So a few minutes later, he came back in. I had some more stuff moved. And I got a healing report, too, because my back had started going out last week. I got up this morning. I have no pain. I have no soreness. I have absolutely nothing there. And I praise God for that. And he said, I guess we're going to move the living room around, ain't we? And I said, yeah. Yeah, we are.
God will bring people along beside of you that will eventually come into agreement if you'll just hold on and hold out. God will bring people into your life and say, okay, if we're going to do this, I'll help you. I may not understand why you're doing what you're doing, but I'll come into agreement with you and I'll come into agreement with what you say that God wants you to do, and I'll help you along the way. So I wanted on this side and he wanted on that side. So I compromised and put it on his side. I mean, he did get his way a little bit. Bless his heart. So I'm saying all of that to say this. When God begins to rearrange, when you begin to release whatever it is to God, and he begins to rearrange things in your life, just go with it. Even though you may not understand it, even though there may be things that's taken out of your life, God's going to restore back to you. Because the restitution has already been paid. And now the restoration is in process. Amen. So God is a speaking God. And in Genesis, he introduces himself by being a speaking God. And God says, set, and when God said, God made, God set, and when he got finished, he saw everything. And indeed, it was very good. Very good. So when God gets through working in our lives, we can stand back and say, that was very good. That was very good. I had to go through a lot to get to where I'm at, but that was very good, God. I'm sitting in a place where that is very, very good. So when we look in the Word, God was always doing something to the earth, and he began to look for a person, place, or thing. Remember what I said, to begin to stir that kingdom authority up within you. And this is what causes the hand of God to move in the earth, is you and me. We are God's hands, as I said, his feet, his ears, and his eyes. And he's looking for somebody that'll come into agreement and begin to move his hand in the earth. So this is a now word. This is a now word. It is by your declaration, according to his word, that the hand of God moves. It's by your declaration, according to his word, that the hand of God moves. God is just looking for somebody that began to speak what he's already established. We are not walking in the authority and dominion that we've been given to. When he said it was finished. When he said it was finished, we've been given authority and we've been given dominion, power in this earth right now. And he's looking for enforcers and demonstrators to enforce that word in the earth now. So when God began to speak, it was our declaration that came into agreement with what he wanted to do. In Numbers 13, God spoke to Moses. It is the now word. This is what I want to do now, Moses. This is what I want to do now. In Numbers 13, God spoke to Moses, send out men to check out the land of Canaan in which I'm giving you and to the children of Israel. God said, I'm giving you this land. I want you to go check it out, what I want to give you. But there's always a doubter in the bunch. Amen. But doubters are good, but it will call into question where you're at with God. Amen. And how much of the word you have inside of you. So when we look in the word, I think I've done went over that. Let's go on. So he said, notice, he said, I'm giving you this land. This is what I'm giving you, Moses. So Moses sent out men to go out and to look at what God was giving them. Go check out the land. They came back with a report. Yes, that which God has given us doth flow with much. There is much there for our taking and for our inheritance. And if this is what God said, there's much there. But then the people are strong, they begin to say. And the cities are fortified and they're very large. And they begin to dwell on why they could not possess the now that God had given them. Because they begin to focus on what they couldn't do or couldn't possess it. Instead of focusing on, said, God said we could have it. So if he said we could have it, we could have it. It doesn't matter about all the people and all the things that are negative there, but focus on what you know God says is yours. And everything else will begin to come in line. Because there's always a Caleb in the bunch too. Amen. God give us a Caleb spirit. Caleb says, Caleb spirit is the one that looks beyond the opposition. A voice that will begin to declare, and let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Able means to have power, having the capacity to prevail or succeed. You have the anointing to be able to say, we are well able to take that which God has given us.
If he said, the land is ours, the land is ours. Amen, church. And Adair County is ours. Adair County is ours. Why? Because they're going to see the demonstration of the God that is able. Blind eyes are going to be open. Amen. The lame are going to walk. The deaf are going to hear. And when that begins to happen, there will be a fire burning that people will want to come and say, what's going on out there? What's happening out there? They've already heard there's a woman preacher out here, from what I've been hearing, and they don't understand why they would let a woman preacher preach. So anyway, they've already got their curiosity stirred up, so let's give them some other things to talk about. Did you know there was a demon out there cast out of somebody? Yes, amen. There were blind eyes open out there. Amen. Yes. We're just doing what Acts done. Amen. We're just flowing. So your situation is about to change. Situation meaning a set of circumstances in which one finds oneself. It also means position. You thought you'd been positioned from this. When God says that position is only take you to a greater place and to a greater position. So your position is about to change. And even as God told David, it's time to go and recover all. It's time to go and recover all. Amen. It's time to go and recover all. I was at work Friday, and I was in a cleaning mood. And they know me well enough to know at work when I get in a cleaning mood. Just stay out of Charlotte's way. She's cleaning. And in the midst of cleaning, I heard God begin to speak. And he said, this is a season of acceleration. Amen. So I read and got me a pen, and I began to write. And he said, this is the season of acceleration. God is redeeming the time. Some of you feel like you're too old. Some of you feel like you don't have this or don't have that. Or you should have done this or should have done that. But God said, I am redeeming the time for your sake. I am redeeming the time. Things that were lost in this season that should have not been lost will be restored. Glory. Especially in the areas of relationships and health. And I found out when relationships are restored, health usually comes along with it. Because when relationships are broken and we get sadness, we get bitterness, we get unforgiveness, our bodies begin to break down. So when relationships are going to be restored, glory to God. Hallelujah. The era of relationships and health, this is a season, and God's redeeming the time. And he goes on to say, keep your spiritual antennas up. I love this part, that God speaks to you just in everyday terms, just like he spoke to the people in the Bible, the disciples. He had church wherever he was at, whether it was on a grassy hillside, on somebody's boat, or down by the lake. He just began to look, and he thought, let me teach them a lesson. Amen. So he says, keep your spiritual antennas up. There is a higher frequency coming from heaven. God is speaking. Are we listening? He's speaking very, very rapidly now. And he's just looking for somebody that's got their antennas up to say, I hear a frequency coming from heaven. And this is what I hear God saying. It's our time. It's our time. Why not you? Why not now? Why not here? Amen. And there is a higher frequency coming from heaven. Stay tuned with prayer and worship. That's how you stay tuned in to the heavenly realm, is through prayer and worship. And when you begin to seek God, he said, I'll be found in you. And I have you in my grip, and I will not let you go. At the times that you have wanted to let go, I have helped you and I have kept you. And I have kept you even as the apple of my eye, and I'm not going to let you go. Amen. So in prayer and worship, bring us back to that place where we can say, God, we can't do it without you and without the anointing. There is a people out there that need Jesus. There are people out there that need help, and we have the answer. So he's looking for a place, he's looking for a people, and he's looking for somebody's to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Amen. So what happens when this acceleration is taking place? I hear job promotions. They're not sure why they just promoted you. Not just relationships and health, but job promotions. unexplained pay raises, restoration of marriages, restoration of families. Children will be restored back to their parents again. Because the word, the place where you grew them up in, that they've heard the word, that word is still there. That word is still there. I hear prodigals returning back to God in the church. And I hear racial barriers breaking down. You know, it's like that M&M thing. Everybody wants a certain color of M&M, but when you bite into it, it all is the same. Amen. So glory to God. This spirit of acceleration is going to take you into what was, into what is. God is putting a spirit of acceleration on you, and that which He has started and has not been finished, you're going to pick up and run with it to bring it to completion. So many times when we've let things go that wasn't the season to let it go or it never was supposed to go, you don't have to go back and start over. It's like someone that's in a race. If they fall down or if they get tired, they don't quit. They don't say, no, you need to go all the way back to the end and start over. Whether you're at the 1 mile marker or 10 mile marker, pick yourself up and keep going, and God will give you the strength to finish the race. And it has not, they have given in or gave up, that is just the way I want it at this point, says God. This spirit of acceleration is especially for the end time harvest of souls. Those that have said, I can't go, the money is just not there. Those that have said, I can't give, the money is just not there. With me, it is a done deal, and I will supply the need. Yes, those that have said, I was just praying, that's all I was doing was praying, I was just worshiping. God said, I have set you up, and you have been set up. I'm putting hands to your prayers. I'm putting feet to your prayers, and it will no longer be I can't, but I must win. And you will say, I will. God has said, I will. Let's go and do this together, says God. Amen. You've been set up for such a time as this, church. You have been set up. And the wind of the Spirit is blowing fresh today. The rain of the Spirit has fallen in the natural, and it's causing things to green and to bloom up again. And this is a season where God is restoring some things that have been dead. He's restoring, though. And yesterday's manna was for then. God wants you to receive the fresh manna now. Do not be caught up in living in the yesterday in the time of someday. Because there is a middle to live out. And if we're constantly thinking about what happened yesterday and wishing for something to happen tomorrow, when God said it's now time. Now is the time. We have those who said, if only it could be like yesterday. Praise God for Azusa Street. Praise God for camp meetings in the past. But this is a new time, and this is the now time. Amen. God has put us on a launching pad to greater victory and greater glory. Amen. As we get caught up in those times, we become stuck. Well, now is the best time, because after all, the Bible says now faith is. Now faith is. God wants you to seize the opportunity of now. Amen. We're going to pray over these as we stand this morning, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word that's come forth. That you're calling us back to prayer, Lord. And to just lay out before you and cry out to you. And say, Lord, unless you go with us, we will not go. For it's your presence that we long for. And in the midst of nothing making sense, we know that you're God. And there's nothing impossible with you. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to have a prayer line this morning for open it up, but I really sense that I'm supposed to. So if any of you all want any of these things that I'm talking about today, if you want to see that change in your life, if you want to see a hunger that you've not had before, if you want to see that vision and that purpose and you feel like you're stuck, God wants me to lay hands on you for something to be stirred up in you. There's a calling going forth in this season. In this season, in this time, will you be that somebody that says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord? So I want to lay hands on you and pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. I just thank you for this season in their lives, God.
As they say yes, you said yes, Father. I thank you for your purpose being accomplished in their life, for that foundation that they have laid with your word, and they refuse to be moved. And because of that, Lord, they will see your purpose fulfilled. And I thank you for restoration of everything that they have stood and are believing you for. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Oh, Yahasore Bashiala to Sambahate Eladikosia to Shambabatea. Lebre se hete ete hekiato shamabakalito mantisato orebabakia. Shehe isaye mamababasondo otianda dadaya. Oh, Yati Shamanto salidia condisidiato rebabohosia. Nedadiado do kumamohosaya mamamamahaya. A higher place of intercession. A higher place where deep calleth unto deep, says the Spirit of the Lord. I have met you there. I have heard, and I will move. Yes, Father, the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for my brother. I thank you, Father, for a fresh infilling of your Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for this man of God. I thank you for the word that dwells within him, Lord, that this is a season where you're calling for that word to come to fruition, and knowing that there is nothing impossible with you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that those things that he sowed, they are running to catch up with him now, and they're going to overtake him in abundance. And all he can stand to do is grin and say, wow, God. Thank you for your blessings overtaking him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hato sheba bakasi hamabahaya. Oh, ye satonda, the work that I've started in you, says the Lord, I will bring to completion. The anointing to teach that's deep within inside you. God is saying, I'm calling that forth again. For I have put an anointing upon you, says the Lord, to bring forth my word. And I'm stirring that gift up within you again, says the Lord. And I ask you to take pen and paper and begin to write. And as you begin to write, I will give you the plan. For the anointing is there, says God. For the anointing is there, says God. Begin to focus on that again. Begin to focus on that again. And the Lord says again, take pen to paper, and I will write through your hand, says the Lord. And I thank you, Father, that healing that you have started in her, you are bringing to manifest it, completion. In Jesus' name, the season of acceleration comes upon you now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. The whirlwind that seems like you have been in the last few months, a few years, God says, I've kept you in the eye of that storm. And I see that thing began to disappear and began to go away. And everything that's held you back and held you down has been broken.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus. And instead of destruction, because of the whirlwind, God says, I'm bringing life. And I'm bringing peace. And I'm bringing joy. And I even sense prosperity.
Thank you.
In every aspect of your life,
yes,
God is going to return to you.
Thank you.
A double portion.
Thank you. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the simplicity of his faith, Father, that just says, God, I take you at your word. If you said it, then that just does it. And for the little things that you show him from day to day that you're in and that you're involved in,
and all things are covered, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I just speak peace over him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, that his feet continually are ordered by you, and that no weapon formed against him shall succeed at reaching its intended purpose. But you're going to accomplish what you've started, because you are a finishing God. You are a finishing God. And I thank you right for that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for Sarah. I thank you for a heart that runs after her, God. For a spirit that's alive unto you, God. And for the purpose and the plan that you have for her life will not be diverted, will not be aborted, but it will be brought to completion. And I thank you for keeping her covered, Father. For keeping her covered. And God says to you, little one, that my plan and my purpose is not hard to find. For in the midst of just loving me and serving me, you will find it. For I will make it very, very plain to you. Very plain to you. And be not overwhelmed in the day-to-day of what's going on. But rest in me, for I have everything under control. My eyes have been on the sparrow, and so they shall be on you. And nothing ever goes past me unnoticed. But I've taken everything into consideration. And my anointing is upon you. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just thank you for steadfastness and assurance that you're God and you do all things well in your time. It may seem, Lord, that your timing is sometimes off, but you're God and you're always right on time. And I thank you for that, Father God. I thank you for your anointing that's within her, that envelops her and takes her to that place of knowing that whatever you've started, you're able to bring it to completion. And that her hands are anointed, that what you set her hands to do are anointed. And you have not called her without anointing her. And God says, I'm redeeming the time for your sake. Because there's times you look back and you say, but I've wasted so much when I could have done so much. God says, I'm redeeming the time for you. And I am restoring, I'm bringing restoration to some things in your life. And you're going to see the complete handiwork of God as he continues to paint on the canvas of your life. And you're going to know of assurance of how much God loves you. Of how much God loves you. Quit thinking about the wasted years, but at the new time that God is doing right now. That he will redeem the time for you. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for Nola. Father, I just thank you that you've got her covered. Thank you, Lord, that you have her covered, that you meet every need that she has, and that she can come before you and just crawl up in your lap and lay her head on your chest, and you just love on her, God. And I thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, that her steps are continually ordered by you. And this sweet spirit that she has and every person she comes in contact with is for the better, because she always has something good to say to them. And I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. That you would just refill her with your Holy Spirit, that if the living waters would flow fresh from her today. And a confidence in her knowing that you do all things well and you're the God of perfect timing. Perfect timing and issues that concerns her. God says, I understand, I see, and I know. And he's working behind the scenes on some things. And soon you will know the fullness of what he is doing. Now, Lord, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name for your anointing, for your precious anointing. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for Willie. I thank you from where you brought him from, but I am more excited about where you're taking him to, God. That the work that you've started in him, you're going to bring it to completion, Father. And that he has a heart that's after you, your will, and your way, Father. And God says to you that he's redeeming the time for you also, and that you are to pick up in the now time and live every day as a precious gift from God. And every step that you take, God says, I will provide the light that you need, the wisdom that you need, and the grace that you need for the step that needs to be taken. And the dream that he has put inside of you years and years ago, God says, I'm reviving that, and I am able to bring it to completion. He says, pick it up again. Pick it up again, son. Pick it up again, son. That's been stirred up in you again. And if I've called you, I've anointed you. Now, Father, I thank you for just refilling him with your precious Holy Spirit, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters, and that he no longer walks, but he runs with you, with your heartbeat and every step that you take. In Jesus' name, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this mother of faith. I thank you, Father, for her standing with our pastors and for this church. Through it all, she has remained faithful. She has remained faithful. And I thank you that great is her reward. And I just pray right now for strength in her body. I just thank you for refreshing, a refreshing from the Holy Spirit comes upon you now. Every prayer that you've prayed, God has taken into consideration. He has noticed it, and he is working on some things. And you will see his manifested glory in your lifetime. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for a heart that's willing to serve you. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Fresh prayer language. Oh, my goodness. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Your yes, his yes, your yes are as one continuous song unto him. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Rita. I thank you this is her season of acceleration, that your blessings are running to overtake her, and for the doors that you're opening for her in this season, God. I thank you for the word that's an assurity to her, God, that you do all things well. And for simple childlike faith that if God said it, that does it, and I can't be talked out of it. This is a time, Lord, that you're just refilling her again with your Holy Spirit, that out of her belly shall flow rivers of living waters, refreshing living waters, that you blow over her again, Father. Yes, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. The blessings of God running to overtake you. Running to overtake you. Running to overtake you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for Bob. I thank you for your word concerning him, Father. I thank you for you bringing everything that he has believed you for to fruition in this season, and that your blessings are running to overtake him. Oh, that they become one. That they become one. Suddenly he's on the left, and suddenly he's on the right, and suddenly he's all around. I just hear the word suddenly. Suddenly, when you pray, you see the manifestation of it. Suddenly you come into agreement with God's word, and suddenly it happens. Suddenly, says the Lord. Thank you, Father, for refilling him with your precious Holy Spirit today. Oh, great expectation. great expectation that you do all things well and for a rest. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for enveloping us today. Thank you for your word that's gone forth. And you said that you give us a promise that it's not going to come back to you empty-handed, but it's going to accomplish your purpose. We lift up our pastors right now in the name of Jesus. The Pastor Laverne is going to have a blessed birthday, Lord, and I just thank you for the continuation of your healing in Pastor's body. And we just speak a blessing over you all today in the name of Jesus. And I speak a blessing over all of you all too, that you are the head and you're not the tail. That God's blessings are going to overtake you, and that suddenly, as God told Bob, that suddenly they're on the left of him and the right of him. I speak that to over all you all today, that next week things are going to happen in your favor. It's now faith is. Now faith is. Amen. Be blessed this week and be a blessing to somebody. Amen. That your word is already settled for them also. And by your stripes they are healed. Every addiction broken in the name of Jesus. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead quickens them, Father, to bring complete healing in the name of Jesus. As they stand upon your word, as we stand in agreement with your word concerning them, that you are faithful to bring to them that which is needed in their life at this time. Amen. Amen.